This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Tell Ron he's not here, so he doesn't get input.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Mokarem Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one has ever injured in an accident, you know exactly who you need to call. It's Mokarem Injury Lawyers. We greatly appreciate everybody out there that's listening and listens on the daily. Or if you're just now tuning in, we appreciate you. Good to have you. Stick around for a while. If you listen on the AM, FM dial, we greatly appreciate you. I always tell folks I'm an HD2. I'm an FM HD2 guy. I also have downloaded the Odyssey app. I keep the Odyssey app on my hip. I take it everywhere I go. Yesterday, I had me a good little 45-minute jog. The jog walk, if I'm being honest. But I had the boys playing and the loop playing. And then I came in here and got to put in the loop in the crosshairs, if you know what I mean. For what that's worth,
but it was always a good raw dog in the drive.
I hear you. Hell, most a lot of folks are. But point being, what I want to highly recommend everybody out there do: download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. If you do have that Odyssey app, feel free to use that rewind feature. We had Houston Texans general manager on this morning with Payne and Pendergast live at 7:30, and we also just played in full the Texans offensive coordinator. At 3:40 here on the drive, in full, his time spent with the media after practice today. So, again, the point being, Odyssey app, baby, AUDACY. Download that sucker and keep it on your hip. All right, we got some updates, if you will, on the Astros front. Some of y'all may be a fan. Some of y'all may not. I think some people are probably starting to fatigue on the Lance McCullers stuff, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I mean, Lance cannot feel good about the fact that a blister on his hand has kept him out for however long it's been. But Lance McCullers is back. Lance McCullers is back, and he will start Friday in Baltimore. Right? What do we got? Tuesday, Thursday, is game two and game three of this Tigers series, and then they go to Baltimore. So the opener in the four-game set versus the Baltimore Orioles will be Lance McCullers coming back off of the blister. Lance McCullers, I mean, it's good. Again, it's an arm. I don't know what to expect from Lance. I am a Lance fan, so my expectations and my hopes are probably a little bit lofty, to be completely honest, given what Lance has been through. But it is an arm. Whether he is a guy that's slated in the starting rotation, which he's going to be here, I don't know what he's going to be down the stretch, but it's another arm, and we need help on all fronts, whether it's that starting rotation or the bullpen. Lance McCullers starting Friday versus Baltimore, Luke.
Yeah, so today was the one-month anniversary of him going down with that blister, so by the time he comes back, it'll be about 5 weeks out with the blister for Lance McCullers. We'll see what he brings to the table this weekend against the Orioles. To me, the biggest takeaway, though, from at least the timing aspect, is that would be Christian Javier's slot in the rotation. So if nothing else, they're just pushing him back an extra day, which is probably a good move. when you have these guys coming back from these arm injuries to give them extra time when possible. And maybe Javier will pitch on Saturday. But of course, you know, your antennas go up because he just left his last start early. And now he did travel with the team on this road trip. And they said it was just an illness, but velocity was down. Had to come out after three innings. So I am curious to see the full pitching probables for this weekend series in Baltimore. Is Javier just going to go Saturday and, you know, everything else is fine and they're going to go to a six-man rotation for the time being? And if so, you know, that could work. But then I've been against six-man rotations throughout the year because it just limits the amount of times you get a Hunter Brown or you get a Fromber, and those are your strength of your pitching staff right now, and you're going to get fewer appearances from them instead, giving time to McCullers coming off the IL and Arrighetti trying to figure it out, and Javier. So, to me, that's the biggest takeaway, I guess, from this whole from this portion of the news is just, what does this mean for Javier? Is he just going to slot in Saturday and everything else is status quo? I'm curious to see what they do this weekend with their pitching plans.
Yeah, a six-man rotation seems counterintuitive to what they need, right? I mean, like you said, you, at this point in time, you're in a dogfight with the Mariners down the stretch here for the division, and fewer starts for Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown do not sound like an ideal formula to win this battle. And adding arms to the starting rotation when you clearly need more arms in the bullpen doesn't seem like a winning proposition or best case scenario proposition for the Astros. Now, again, I don't know who's better suited for the bullpen. I think all of these guys have stuff that could play in the bullpen, whether it's McCullers, Javier, or Luis Garcia. They've all got bullpen stuff that I think would play there. I don't know how their injuries play into you know, the decision of whether they're starters or their bullpen pieces, but either way it goes, it doesn't seem like – it seems like last case scenario is six-man rotation. That seems like – The last thing the Astros want to do now. But we'll see. We'll see, because they're getting some guys healthy. Luis Garcia, speaking of, Luis Garcia will make another rehab start tonight in Corpus Christi. I tell you, the folks down in Corpus Christi, man, you're getting treated here. Luis Garcia is going to make another rehab start down there tonight, as well as Yordan Alvarez will DH tonight in Corpus Christi. He'll rest tomorrow, and then he will play Thursday and Friday in Corpus Christi as well before determining when he's going to come back up to the big leagues. But Luis Garcia, let's start with Luis Garcia just in terms of him coming back, that's going to be a big shot in the arm for the Astros as well.
It could be. That's the most interesting one to me, is just because it's been so long. I mean, it's been 27 months. So we saw what happened with McCullers coming back after a couple of years, and it hasn't been great this year. There were some okay outings, but mostly just kind of lackluster appearances from McCullers. So now it'll be somewhat similar for Garcia after all this time off to see what he can bring to the table and even how long you feel comfortable stretching him out and pushing him here late in this season. So, and then also just the numbers game, what we were just talking about. I mean, you throw McCullers back in on Friday. If you keep Javier in the rotation, that's already six guys, unless they bump Jason Alexander, but he's been your best starting pitcher this month. And then you get you get Garcia back next week. Now you have seven starting pitchers, so who's going to go to the bullpen? That's what I'm curious about, is just the logistics of all this. How are they going to sort out what will become seven starting pitchers next week, and what are the expectations for these guys? Does Garcia just become a reliever or an opener type of guy, and you know, you only get a couple innings out of him? Same with McCullers. What are they going to do with these arms? That's the most fascinating part.
Well, we've got two issues with the Astros right now. They've been shut out in three of the last four games. So there's obviously a bat issue, a production issue at the plate, as well as, hell, again, starting rotation, as well as the bullpen. So two arms look like one arm's back Friday, Lance McCullers. Luis Garcia looks like he's getting closer. And Yordan Alvarez, obviously a monster bat being added to this lineup at some point in the near future, barring some kind of inflammation on that right hand that was I guess, fractured at some point.
Yeah.
Cracked,
right?
At some point. So hopefully
you probably know better than the trainer.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hopefully that goes according to plan, and we at least get somewhat whole from a lineup perspective. Boy, you talk about you get Correa plugged in there, you get Pena back after that little bit of an injury stint there. Altuve has been swinging it well. Man, you plug Yordan Alvarez in there. That could be not could. It will be big. All right, let's. It's hard to not stay in the rearview mirror with how bad the Astros have been across the board. Last night was bad. I mean, hell, Chaz McCormick has been on the damn mound in consecutive games, y'all. And he's been on the mound three times in the last, what, six or seven games?
Yeah.
Well, this is not good.
So it's been bad. But y'all, tonight's matchup is made for TV. Brown versus Skubal is, I don't know the entire league. Maybe you can help me with this. I mean, how many pitchers in the American League are in the same category right now with Skubal?
Yeah, good question. I mean, these are the two guys with the best ERA in the AL.
Right. I mean, these two guys have been in the Cy Young race all year long. Yeah. And I know Hunter struggled a little bit there for a two or three start stance, but he now appears to be back to form. But this is what it's all about for me. I get jacked up just talking about it, man. This is what, to me, makes Hunter Brown special, is what I believe is going to happen tonight. I believe he's going to be jacked up. I mean, absolutely jacked for tonight's start. It's in his hometown, Detroit, and it's against one of, if not the best pitcher right now in the American League and in baseball. And that seems like a situation where somebody's going to have to keep Hunter Brown a little bit calm down a little bit, which I love when somebody brings that level of intensity and that level of energy and that level of dog to a game. And he's got it when he's on the bump. And tonight is must-see TV for me, Luke. I mean, the Hunter Brown Tariq Skubal matchup is as good as it's going to get in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it sure is. To answer your question, I think the only other guy I would put in their class in the American League is Garrett Crochet for the Red Sox, who the Astros actually just beat last week. The one win, funny enough, well, they won two games in that series, but one of their few wins here the past week. This is a premier matchup. It's on TBS as well, tonight's game, so it is going to be like a national game because of this great matchup. And this is why you have someone like Hunter Brown. I mean, you can't be playing any worse than you are right now. And you have to turn to your ace to be your stopper and to try to get you a win tonight. And it won't be easy on the road against a first-place Tigers team and against one of the few pitchers that's been having a better year than you. But this is why you have Hunter. And look, Skubal's been great this year, but in the month of August, maybe he's slowing down a little bit. He has an ERA of almost 5 this month, so we'll see if the Astros bats can wake up a little bit, exceed that 2.5 run total set in Vegas. But this is a big spot tonight for Hunter Brown to try to put the team on his back and get them back on track after what has just been an incredibly embarrassing couple of days for a first place team.
Yeah, I mean, they have somehow that 6-game home stretch won 3 of 6, so they went 3-3, but it was not. I mean, they could not have felt good coming out on the back end of that 6-game home stretch, and then last night, obviously 10-0 to Detroit. Now, I mean, look, the Astros this season have been tremendous against division leaders. I don't know. You had those numbers earlier. I don't know if you remember those numbers.
Yeah, 12-4 against first place teams.
12-4 against first place teams, division leaders. I mean, they've typically played their best baseball when they are playing really good baseball teams. And so I don't know. Hopefully last night was not an indication that tide has turned. Hopefully tonight they can right the ship and make that stat stand true against Detroit, because they do lead their division, as well as the Astros are still a game and a half up in this division. Now, the starting lineup for the Astros is out tonight. Jeremy Pena playing shortstop is leading off. Carlos Correa is in the two-hole playing third base. Jose Altuve, he's the DH tonight, batting third. Christian Walker is back in that four-hole playing first base. Yainer Diaz is catching. He's batting fifth. Ramon Urias is batting sixth, playing second base. Mauricio Dubon is in left field, batting seventh. Cam Smith, right field, batting eighth. And I'll be damned. I will be damned, y'all. Chaz McCormick. Tyler.
Hey!
Tyler. Don't get me excited now.
Give him a damn chance, man. Give this man a damn chance. He's not a reliever. Get him some banana pudding in that clubhouse tonight. Get out there, Chazzy.
Yeah, I'm going to ride with it, T. I'm going to ride. I mean, he needs it, man. It ain't about whether he deserves it or if he's earned it or not, man. I mean, he needs it.
He needs it worse than any dry spell any three of us have ever gone through in the sack.
He's at a He's at an all-time low, man. He's got to be rock bottom, guys. He's pitched. He has pitched. Although he's pitched better than the actual bullpen.
Yeah.
He has pitched in back-to-back games. And last night, I'm sitting out there watching him. He hits a guy on a damn knee. And he has got to be rolling his eyes of like, what in the hell is going on? I mean, what was it, 2 years ago? Was it two seasons ago?
The catch on the warning track?
I mean, yes.
Yep.
I mean, 2 seasons ago, this guy was a tremendous center fielder.
Forever etched in Astros folklore.
And statistically, one of the best in the league that year. And I'll be honest, was doing things that we hadn't seen a center fielder do. I mean, I guess Jake did it for a part of the season this year.
Came around this year, yeah.
But, I mean, he is somehow – I mean, my man has somehow been.
I need this, man. I need him. I need two base hits minimum from Chazzy Fizz tonight.
I mean, am I the only one, guys? My heart broke for Buddy last night.
Oh yeah, dude. It's a nut kick.
The game was out of control by the time I turned it on. And again, I'm watching. You gotta understand. I'm watching a lot of this with volume down because I'm putting babies to bed and I'm trying to get them to wind down. And Mama's reading books in my ear, kind of thing. Man, I looked up, and honest to God, I looked up there, guys, and my heart broke when I saw Chaz McCormick on the mound again.
For sure. It's an awful situation. 713-572-4610. Hit the text line. I need to know which spot in the city of Houston has the absolute, hands-down best banana pudding you've ever put in your mouth. Please let me know right now because I'm door dashing this sucker over to the ballpark. I don't care if it's up in Detroit.
Ain't that Luke, well done. Get that man some banana pudding for damn sure.
Right now!
Oh, man, it's got it. I'm telling you, man, it just is it's painful to watch, man. I'm beyond the point of ever expecting this song to be a mainstay on this show ever again. And like I'm at a point where I don't like. I just wish they'd move on from it. I just wish they'd move on from Chaz because you're clearly not. I mean, you're just disrespecting him with this Melton kid and Tremel and these guys in the outfield over him.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
It's just plumb ass disrespect. What is Melton hitting, about $170?
Yeah, at best.
I mean, what are we doing, man? And with no resume to show that he can ever do it, instead of playing a guy that you know at least has done it before. I mean, wow.
I got a good feeling, man.
Legit. I don't go the heartbreak route very often, but mine is definitely broke. All right, the Texans, they practiced today. Big week in training camp for the Houston Texans. Takeaways from today's practice. Who's back? Who's not? What went down? We'll let you know next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. But as I reported last segment, that the Hughleys, Ron and his beautiful bride, Courtney, they have hit the ground in Atlanta. They are safe. They have escaped the hurricane that was in Turks and Caicos. Big shout out to Delta Airlines. That is why they are in Atlanta. Not only that, did they escape it, but things are looking up. Looks like they're going to get back to Houston before midnight tonight. So the Hughley family must be living right. Ron must be on good terms with his bride. He must be on good terms with his bride up there.
He said that's the first time he's ever flown Delta. Is there, for you guys,
never flown Delta.
Really? I was going to ask if there's ever been a well-known airline you have never been on yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was surprised by that. I think I'm sure I've flown them all. I'm not partial to a certain airline. I fly whatever the cheapest flight is or like the best time.
I'm a United guy through and through. Okay. I've flown enough to where being in Houston, all things considered, United is hands down the best.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, the
and I live like 15 minutes from Bush.
The one-way flights, the assigned seats. I think the space in terms of like on the plane, I think it's actually nicer.
I am actually flying Southwest this week, though, which will be my third time ever.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of Southwest. I've flown Southwest quite a bit. I've flown American a little bit. I've only been on a Delta flight once. Only been on a Delta flight once. Yep. I think it has more to do with the hub is in Atlanta, so the flights are just not as convenient as the ones here with United and Southwest, I think both being Texas.
It's true.
Texas-based companies. So, so I don't know. But Delta did us a solid and got the got the Hughley family back in the state safely and out of the hurricane's way, and hopefully they'll get them here to Houston, and everything will be right. I'm not enjoying my time with you, Luke Morrow.
No.
Getting the band back together here, especially after a hurricane.
Can I say what we're all thinking, though?
What's that?
How damn surprising is it that Ron isn't flying Frontier?
No, Courtney ain't having it. I'm going to tell you right now. If it were up to Ron, he damn sure would. He'd be on Apple Airlines. There ain't no doubt.
He'd be looking for...
Oh, there ain't no
Spirit.
Doubt. Yeah, I mean, he'd be willing to deal with them.
That's what I meant, Spirit. Yeah.
Courtney, both of them, they're the same.
Nah, Courtney Hughley ain't flying no second rate airline, and she damn sure ain't staying in no second rate hotel. So
hold on,
You know, Ron had to bite that bullet right there. All right, the Texans, they did have practice today. We're in the meat of camp, really towards the backside of camp, where every practice. This is where, you know, I can speak from experience. This is where, as a player. Of this ilk, of the bottom half of the roster, if you will, this is where instead of, boy, practice is long and, man, I'm tired, this is where you look up and you're like, hey, man, in a week, they finna start handing out pink slips. We got a week to do everything that we possibly can to make this team. So there's a lot of competition, a lot of decisions that are going to have to be made at the bottom of this roster. And one of the reports today, I think, could possibly – have something to do with a decision that's got to be made in the next week. But I think the big takeaway from today's practice is Cam Robinson was back at practice. And I think the question here was with Ariante Ursary playing so well at left tackle and Titus Howard playing well at right tackle, what was going to go on with Cam Robinson, right? And at least for a day, it looks like things stayed status quo. Ariante Ursary, the rookie, was with the first team today, and Titus Howard was your right tackle with the ones today. Cam Robinson was there rotating through, to my understanding, but Ursary and Titus Howard remained with the ones. We will see if that kind of how that plays out and if that holds true. I don't know that I expected this team to have so many options at tackle. I mean, this team, Nick Caserio is literally today talking about having five tackles. And if you look at it, you got Trent Brown, you got Blake Fisher, you got Titus Howard, you got Ariante Ursary, and you got Cam Robinson. They are tackle heavy at this point in time, which is going to allow them a lot of freedom to make a decision of what they want to do with all five of those tackles. Cam Robinson being back at practice, not with the ones. Luke, does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. No, I guess it shouldn't surprise me because I've been really low on Cam Robinson this entire offseason and the idea of bringing him in to be your left tackle. So, no, I wouldn't say it surprised me or maybe pleasantly surprised because I didn't know if the Texans would actually stick with that plan. You know, almost like that spot is his. Whenever he comes back, Cam Robinson's going to go right back to our left tackle. That probably would have been my expectation, but pleasantly surprised because I think this is the right move to keep Cam Robinson out because I think the five that they're running with right now is your better five with Ursary and Titus Howard as your two tackles instead of including Cam Robinson and then Titus to a guard and all that sort of stuff. I like Ed Ingram at the right guard right now. I like those two tackles. I like Cam Robinson on the sideline with the ones for the time being, because I don't think Cam Robinson is your best option or one of your best two options at the tackle position. I do think the two guys you're using right now are better at those positions. I also like the idea that if you do have a guard in Ed Ingram, it just allows Titus Howard to remain at a tackle position instead of shuffling a bunch of people around. So maybe somewhat surprised, but pleasantly surprised, because I do think this is the right move. This five looked good or has looked good since Cam's been out, including in Saturday's preseason game, albeit with Blake Fisher filling in at that time at right tackle. But just that idea of, like, let's not disrupt the apple cart because these guys have been gelling a little bit lately. And just because Cam Robinson's healthy, let's not thrust him back in there. We have found a good mix of these five that have worked well in his absence. So let's keep rolling with that. And we'll see what it means for Cam if they shuffle him back in here the rest of this week. But I think this five is the best five you could put together, and that does not include Cam Robinson. And I felt that way really since they brought him in. So from that perspective, not surprised.
Cam Robinson, $12 to $14 million man brought in, signed anyway, to theoretically replace Laremy Tunsil, and has missed a lot of practice. Ariante Ursary, the rookie that that everybody is just ranting and raving about, has been playing left tackle in Cam's instant absence, and Ariante Ursary is playing really well, and looks like today, at least with Cam Robinson back, that Ariante Ursary has played well enough that they don't want to interrupt it. They want to leave him at left tackle and leave Titus at right tackle and see what happens there. We'll keep you up on what happens tomorrow, kind of what that rotation looks like, what it looks like in the joint practice, and then obviously, potentially, I don't know if a Cam Robinson type of player typically would not play in your last preseason game, but given that he's missed so much action, maybe he gets some reps. But given that the competition is so fierce at that tackle position, maybe he gets some reps. We will see. Also at practice today, Damian Pierce is back at practice today. Had a couple of runs, had a catch in today, a little check down catch, I think, in a team drill. Damian Pierce back out there, and I don't know what Damian Pierce is playing for. I will be completely honest with you. I can't get a read on any of it. I know it's important reps that he's getting. I know it's important that he gets back healthy. Whether you look at this thing at the running back room and say, well, Joe Mixon is out, so they're going to need Damian Pierce, or you look at this running back room and you say, hey, they really like Dari Agumbawale and they really like Woody Marks, so Damian Pierce could be traded or Damian Pierce could be cut and they could move on from Damian Pierce. I don't know what he's playing for. I'll be completely honest with you. I think all of the above are possibilities. But bottom of the line is Damian Pierce being back at practice is big for him, and it potentially could be big for the Texans if he is in their future plans.
Yeah, it's certainly huge for him. You just have to be out there to try to even be able to make the team. And so we're going to try to see get a good run of him this week, and no pun intended, and especially with the joint practice with the Lions. So you have that Thursday, probably we'll see him in the game over the weekend and see what he can do against a pretty good defense too. But I still think he has something to bring to this offense for the Texans, especially if Joe Mixon's going to be out for a little while, because, I mean, Woody Marks, at least to begin the year, of course, is a rookie and he's looked good and I like him, but still somewhat raw and has some things to learn at this level. And then Dare is more of that specialty back, so if you're without Mixon, I think you can lean more on Chubb and Pierce as those quasi-starters. And then, God forbid, over the course of a long season, you have two older running backs with a little injury history, and you never know when you might need that other guy. And Damian Pierce has been that number one tailback running for 1,000 yards before in his career. So I still think he can provide some value to this offense, but obviously just has to actually be out there and physically capable of doing it and showing what he can do now in this Nick Kelly offense.
All right, there's something that I'm hearing coming out of practice today, just reports of something that may appear to be small, but to me it is absolutely big time, and it takes this defense to another level. I will tell you what that is, and we will discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Bite a kneecap off.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. And yeah, that's Tyler Milton on them ones and twos, keeping it loose in the building. I know y'all hear him and feel him, even though you can't see him, baby. And I'm talking about on the radio, Tyler. I'm talking about on the radio. You didn't turn the lights out on somebody.
One way.
Yeah, I knew. I'm beat you to the punch, didn't I? I'm going to beat you to the punch. All right, I told y'all. I'm hearing a little something, a little report from Jonathan Alexander today, and may not have meant much to many people. It was just kind of a short little tweet, but for me, it moves me, and I'm going to start by setting the table with this. I want you to hear former Texas A&M Aggie, hell, he's my teammate at one point in time, Dan Campbell. I was probably more his teammate than he was mine, but actually played with him in Dallas a little bit. On the football team, that was, by the way. But Dan Campbell is a head coach of the Lions, and that's who the Texans are joint practicing with and going to play the preseason game, their final preseason game 3 of 2025. That's where they got to go this weekend, Saturday. And here is Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, talking about D'Amico's Texans defense.
I'm really fired up that we're going to get Houston to come in here. It's only for one practice, but I mean, those guys are, what D'Amico's done out there has been really impressive. And I know this defense is, they're the real deal. The way they play, the way they practice, go about their business. They got weaponry on offense. Quarterback's a good little player. You can go across the board. I can't wait. That's perfect. So that keeps me from jumping too far ahead. So we've got this little batch left. I can't wait to get Houston here because it'll be great for us. We need the work, and it'll make us better. I just know it will. So that's where we're at now. But I'm trying to keep my eyes there because I do want to look over the hill. Okay, keep going.
Boy, Dan just lost a sensitive CJ crowd, didn't he? Yeah. I mean,
exited stage right.
Oh, that Dan Campbell guy. I hate that guy. He talks about eating kneecaps and biting kneecaps and stuff. Hate him.
Team Macho.
Yeah, there you go.
Welcome to the team, Danny.
Look, I think Dan Campbell there is when he's talking about the defense, I think he's spot on. I mean, D'Amico has done an unbelievable job building this defense. I think they're as advertised, guys. You know, I'll be honest with you, in the preseason before camp started, we were talking about the defense overall, and I don't want to go overboard, right? Now, the secondary, I was ready to jump in and just go. I mean, because you get C.J. Gardner-Johnson at the time. This is before Jimmy Ward got into trouble. You got Kalen Bullock at safety. You got, I mean, man, they are, I mean, they're still loaded, stacked, even with a couple of injuries, but are some problems there at safety. But still, this secondary is absolutely nasty. And there's one thing, guys, that I've been fascinated with on and off, right? The Kamari Lassiter situation. I'll be completely honest. I'm going to say this every time we have a Kamari Lassiter specific conversation. I was dead ass wrong on Kamari Lassiter. He is an outside corner. If there is some kind of speed and twitch problem, stiffness issue, he overcomes it and has played the position at an unbelievably high level. And I got a tip to cap. It is what it is. We're talking about one of the best cornerback combinations in all of football. Top three, top four in all of football. Any way you slice it. And so Kamari Lassiter is a big-time outside corner. Now, with that said, I have been intrigued and fascinated last season when D'Amico got creative with his scheme and we saw Kamari Lassiter slide inside of that nickel defender position. I watch it and his instincts – and his physicality stand out significantly more there than they do at corner, obviously, because you're playing the run, you're rushing the passer, you're doing different things in there, right? And I said then, I don't know, I mean, it depends on the personnel, but I don't know that Kamari Lassiter doesn't impact games at a bigger, more frequent level if he's able to do those kind of things consistently. Right now, you get Jalen Petrie back. It's a moot point. Jalen Petrie's a starting nickel defender. Now what I do is I look at the Kamari Lassiter situation as a weapon in D'Amico Ryan's toolbox, if you will. I've said it many times. If you come out and for some reason, I think we saw last year, was it Christian Kirk? Somebody came out and Jalen Petrie was, maybe it wasn't Jalen Petrie. Anyway, point being is, if an offense comes out in the first half and is having success against our nickel defenders, and we're having to play a bunch of zone because our backers and our nickel defenders aren't made for man coverage, and you're getting, you know, the offense is attacking that area of the field and they're moving the football. For D'Amico Ryans to be able to go in and the adjustment be, we're going to come out, we're going to slide Kamari Lassiter into the nickel defender position. And now we don't lose anything from instincts, run defense, pressure in the passer, speed off the edge. You still get all of that equal to what you get from Jalen Petrie. But now what you have is a player that can cover man, and so schematically you can throw different things out there at an offense. And so just as a weapon, I love the fact, the report was Kamari Lassiter was spotted playing the nickel position some today. I just think this is a big time adjustment weapon for D'Amico Ryans to have. And you want to talk about this defense being just, I mean, even getting better than what we could have thought. Let one of these corners, probably Jalen Smith, the third round pick out of USC, but I don't know who it may be. Let one of these corners play well enough that D'Amico Ryans gets confidence in them to do what I just talked about and freely move Kamari Lassiter around and freely move Kamari, maybe even have Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie on the field at the same time, bump Jalen Petrie back to where C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to be, and let Kamari Lassiter play some of that nickel defender, and let Jalen Smith or whoever that corner is that DeMeco believes in play some outside corner. Let that become something that DeMeco Ryans feels comfortable doing, and this defense even gets better. I mean, this defense even gets significantly better and more difficult. You may get them once or twice, but getting them and beating them the same way for four quarters is not going to happen, and this would make it significantly more difficult. Kamari Lassiter being spotted at camp, playing a little bit of nickel, that having that ability really turns me on, Luke.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question, was what you kind of touched on there at the end of, if you were to move Kamari, you know, we talk so much about the depth in that secondary. Do you think there is somebody who can then slot in for him at the cornerback?
I think it's Jalen Smith would be my guess. I mean, I think Jalen Smith is a guy that, and look, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I mean, we watched him do it with Kamari and Bullock last year, and all of a sudden we think that every DB he drafts is going to be able to just jump in and start and play. But I do think there's some. I do think that there is, when you look at, DeMeco has done more with less when it comes to secondary issues. They've had a lot of injuries. And somehow, some way, he still put a competitive defense out there with a bunch of guys that I didn't even know were on the roster to start the season. Hell, may not have been. And so when you look at – and I think Kamari's great. Again, I'm not minimizing Kamari by any means, but I think DeMeco Ryans knew he had a rookie corner last year opposite Derek Stingley and did some things schematically to help him out, whether that's alignment – and we're playing more soft instead of press and keeping everything in front of us and coming down and tackling. Like, I think DeMeco Ryans with a young, inexperienced corner, or safety for that matter, but corner, like, doesn't concern me at all. I think that's something DeMeco's really, really comfortable with, especially when the moves that you're making and the adjustments that you're making are specifically – they're very intentional. They're for a reason. And I think DeMeco is I think he's elite at protecting his players. You know, you hear a lot of coaches talk about, well, I'm gonna put my guys in position to play their best football and that they play to their strengths and not their weaknesses. DeMeco Ryans has done that, particularly with the secondary, and particularly when guys have been injured and it's backups that you know, have weaknesses. He's schemed and called defenses to keep that from just being an absolute crushing issue. You know, he's done a good job with it. So I wouldn't be afraid if it were the rookie out of USC, or hell, I mean, you know, the one thing about DeMeco and some of the risks that he's taken is, I mean, guys get out there, and if they get picked on and get beat, he moves, he gets them the hell out of the game. So he makes quick moves. So yeah, I'm not saying I would do it an extended period of time, but just to have that feather in your cap, to have that in your, you know, that ability at any time to do it, boy, I think that's. I think that is extremely, extremely valuable. I'm telling you, man, Kamari Lassiter, I like Jalen Petrie down there around that ball, around the line of scrimmage. But you do get a little bit concerned about the inability to cover at a high level. And Kamari just does, he gives you the ability to cover down there, man. So yeah, Luke, I like it, man. I mean, I like it as a weapon. I like it as a changeup.
Yeah, I like that breakdown, because I was going to say the biggest takeaway for me that stood out from the live tweeting was Jalen Petrie playing deep safety at times for that defense today, which I didn't necessarily like. So I found it interesting with the Lassiter breakdown of moving him to nickel and the way you just laid that out now and how that could make this defense even better.
Yeah, I expect it. I mean, Jalen Petrie is a valuable piece to this. He's got to be on the field. It's how do they overcome the safety issue they have right now, and who's best to fit that? I think Jalen can do it all. Is he best suited around the line of scrimmage? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think Petrie can do it all. I think Kamari can do a lot of it, you know. So we'll see. It's going to be fun to watch this secondary play behind that pass rush that is absolutely nasty. All right, the Astros lineup is out, and somebody, somehow, some way, has got a little banana pudding coming their way. 5 o'clock fire, y'all. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.